First Samuel chapter 23. I'm going to read you a text in Romans chapter 15. First Samuel chapter 23 is where we'll be, but let me read this first. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Might have hope. And David was in need of encouragement and hope. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to look at verses 13 through 18. I pray the Lord give me the ability to speak this as it needs to be. This is just so wonderful. It's just absolutely wonderful passage. Truly great. Chapter 23 in 1 Samuel and verse 13. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him to kill him, I'll say. Saul sought him every day, but God delivered David not into Saul's hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in woods. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And Jonathan said unto David, Fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul, my father, knows. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the woods, and Jonathan went to his house. Now, this, I've got it titled, there's several things, but I thought of friendship, fellowship, and encouragement. Friendship, fellowship, and encouragement. David, we see, he's a most eminent saint. The Lord's delivered him out of different situations. He's already anointed him through Samuel. He's an eminent saint. Yet, he's only a sinner saved by grace. And as such, as we ourselves need helps and encouragements from time to time. This passage before us, we will observe these three thoughts, friendship, fellowship, and encouragement. And then we'll draw a close. But here's the scene. This is to bring us up to context of what's been going on chapters before. David and his men are on the run. David has been anointed king, but he is not king proper. So he's on the run. He's being chased. He's being pursued by Paul. And, Saul. And Saul wants to, he wants to kill him. Because he knows David's going to be king. In verses 16 and 17, we notice the kind and compassionate hands of very present help. Or in the accord of Jonathan, David's friend, David finds some relief. He's out in the wilderness, as it says a couple times. It's the woods, wilderness, which is important, that word, wilderness. And David finds, Jonathan finds David. Now, why his dad couldn't find him, he just knew he was in a certain area. But Jonathan, being David's close friend, I'm sure he had information that his father didn't know. And so he finds him. Verse 16, Jonathan's, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the woods and strengthened his hand in God. Now, he did this at his own peril. Because there's a time that Saul says, I know you're in league with David. And it's a wonder that Saul didn't turn and kill his own son. So this Jonathan, he took some responsibility and he took some heat. Who knows what his dad was kind of going out of his mind. So the first thing we see is friendship. Even the most faithful of saints are still very much in this flesh and need to be exhorted, or perhaps softly rebuked, or in any case, they need to have a word spoken in due season. David here is pursued, he's dogged, he's hounded, wanted dead or alive by the hand of his enemy. But David would not lift up his hand against Saul because he said he's God's anointed, so I'm not going to touch him. But David, in this situation, in the wilderness, in Ziph, Saul's son, Jonathan, finds him. David needs assistance. He needs help in this great time of need. Turn with me to Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6 and the first part of the 14th verse. Job chapter 6. To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. Job chapter 6 and the first part of verse 14. To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. That's all Job's asking. He's asking, you guys are here, there's four of you, and you say you're my friends, and they're not comforting him. They're saying you must have been sinned. There's something wrong with you. We know. Oh, outwardly, we didn't see it, but no, a friend, friendship, just basic principle, man on man, woman on woman, friendship. We should take pity on from a friend. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. And verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Proverbs 27 verse 9, and again in verse 17 of the same chapter. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man or a woman, a believer, sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. This is just basic principles. We see this in Jonathan. You have friends who are not believers. When they come and they speak a word of encouragement, you're thankful. You're thankful. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one shall lift up his fellow, but woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand that enemy. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. Now that's the Trinity. We see that. That's the higher understanding of this passage. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Nobody can break that covenant that they have with his people. But the point is encouragement. And Jonathan did so. Oh, may we be such a friend one to another here in this place. Me to you and you to me. Even if it means anger, wrath, or even harm may come of it. They're my brother. They're my sister in Christ. I don't care. I'm going to be associated with them. I'm going to be one with them. The second thought, fellowship. If friendship is good, fellowship is better. Turn with me to Acts chapter 28. I had never really seen this. I knew it was here, but I didn't know how it was worded. But this is wonderful. Acts chapter 28, the last chapter in Acts. And you know what's going on with Saul. He's being here in the shipwreck, and he's making his way to Rome, and he's here and there, and the snake bites him, he shakes it off. All these different tribulations and trials are going on. He's under house arrest, so to speak. And he says it in verse 12 of chapter 28, or verse 11, and after 3 months, we departed in the ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. The landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days, and from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rignum. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Petulia, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went towards Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the Three Taverns. And that place it's still there technically, the ruins, but it's a little ways from Rome. It's not just getting to 20 minutes down the road. The brethren heard somehow, because on the phones, they heard somehow that Paul was in this place, and you can find it in your New Testament maps. The brethren heard, they came to meet us as far as these place, whom when Paul saw, thank God, and took courage. This is fellowship. Now, I know some of you have good friends and have good friends. I have friends, believe it or not, a couple. I could count them maybe on my toe. But I'm telling you to help maybe save some heartache. Friends of the world do not understand you. They do not understand your God, nor do they love your God. Now, should you be mean to them? Should you not take the gracious gift if somebody gives a gift? No, I'm not saying any of that. This is just common. These passages in Proverbs, they're common. But to the believer, all things are spiritual. So you take it to that next principle. We're alive. We're the flesh. We're human. But we're new creatures in Christ. So if friendship is good, fellowship is much better. Do you think Paul, when he saw them, that they had sacrificed to walk down to this place, to Appii Forum or the Three Taverns, he thanked God and took courage? I'm sure they did. They may have talked about the weather. They may have talked about the Greek games that were coming up, and so and so forth. He can throw the discus. They may have said just a little bit. But I guarantee you, they talked about the gospel. And whether we want to admit it or not, this world does not care about us. The believer should and does, this little family, and little families we got scattered across the country, and the Lord Jesus Christ does. Fellowship. Friendship is amazing, yet fellowship is best. Now in our text, back in our text, what does it specifically say? Jonathan, Saul's son, arose at no expense to himself, at no danger, certain danger to himself, People were going to talk, are you in allegiance with David or are you in allegiance with your father who was already on the throne? All these political things could come up here too. He didn't care. He ventured his life on meeting this brethren, but it specifically says he went to David into the woods and strengthened his hand in God. So fellowship is most certainly implied. I say again, beware of plain earthly friends. We have nothing in common with them, spiritually, that is. And this word, strengthen, it means to fasten one's hand, strengthen one another. I don't know, my hands are on a plow, but they're getting, I kind of want to look back. I want to do like Lot's wife. And then the brethren, we encourage, you keep hold on. And this is what Bruce has done for me, and I hope I've done for Bruce. It's like, I don't know. No, just keep preaching the gospel. And it means to repair. And there's not a one of us here that doesn't have something broken. Flat tire. Flat spirit. I don't want to worship. I told them, I said, I'm in no mood to worship this morning. Don't know what it was. Woke up, just aggravated. And I thought, and I just got to looking at the text. And I go, whether it needs to be preached. I wish all were here to hear it. But the word strengthen, he strengthened his hand. And then another interpretive scripture says, in the word of the Lord. Now that's key. Bruce was saying, what do we have to, how do you know what decision, this and that? It's all in the book. You look for promises in the book. You look for direction in the book. If you don't have it, you don't do anything. But again, we're weak. And man, I don't want to, I know I'm. The Lord establishes my thoughts and this and that, so I don't need to. No, we need this. We feed our soul, we feed our bodies every day, three times a day, more. Why not the scriptures? Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, fellowship. This, you know this passage, the two on the road to Emmaus. Behold, two brethren. The same day they were walking to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things that had happened. What? Christ crucified, risen from the dead. I reiterated the gospel to one another perhaps. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. So Christ asked them, what are you doing? And they said, well, are you a stranger? Did you not know what happened? But look at what they said. Verse 19, and he said unto them, what things? And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered them to be condemned to death and to have crucified. But we trusted, here we go. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They still didn't understand. It's like I said the other day, when you expect redemption with the body, it may come, it may not come. Ours is what Christ came to do, is to redeem the soul. That's kind of that horizontal versus vertical. If you're looking here, looking for, I got bill problems, I'm looking, boom, boom, boom. Know what? You look up, the Lord opens our eyes. This is fellowship. This is fellowship. The two, they're trying to encourage one another over the events that just had occurred. I'm sure they were upset. They fully didn't understand because of what they said, the events, and perhaps were even disappointed that Christ did not set up his earthly kingdom. It is he we trusted. We trusted that it would have been he that should have redeemed Israel. And besides all, this is the third day. And certain women among us, they were astonished and were early at the sepulcher. And then Christ, he said to them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. the Word of God. They didn't even have the New Testament. So back to our text. Jonathan went to David in where he was at and fastened his hand in the Word of God. That's why we gather together. That's why the gospel must be preached. It's the only gospel that God will honor. It's the only gospel that will save sinners. And it's the only gospel that will help and encourage one another. Their hearts were broken, yet they were specifically talking about Christ. Oh, how good and needful it is, the scripture says, that we dwell together in unity, unified under one banner. That banner is Christ, regarding one gospel. And that one gospel is eminently the good news of how God came to save sinners. There's promises in this book to take note of and to believe. There's the word to seek, to take refuge under. And one another to weep with those who weep and to laugh with those who laugh and to encourage one another. There is no truth. Melinda and I have been talking about this in this day of modern horrible yellow journalism. There is no truth. There is no truth. But this truth. But this truth. The book of God to us. He strengthened his hand in God. He strengthened his hand in the word of the Lord. There's only one God, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, even our Lord Jesus Christ. To the downcast believer, we speak of him whom his or her soul loves, and this will surely remedy any situation. What Matt read in Song of Solomon. Our beloved. We want to hear of our beloved. Come what may, trial, persecution, tribulation, famine, peril, sword, nakedness, a wilderness. Nothing, says this infallible book, shall separate us, the elect, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If we know, or I should say, if we have been shown ourselves, truly, which we're weak and helpless in our own strength, oftentimes out of the way, we need helps to fasten our faith's grip upon the kinsman redeemer. We need repair in our walk of faith, so to speak. Remember the text in Acts when Paul saw him. He was encouraged. Yes, God can, he can unassistedly come in and help us in a time of need. But more often, and how kind and how tender he is, to bring a true brotherly friend to our aid. Because we're flesh and blood. The last thought, or one of the last thoughts, fellowship. Or I'm sorry, this word fellowship. Now this is interesting. I've looked this up a lot of times. Fellowship, I looked this up in the Greek. It means, watch it. I'm going to use a word that is a horrible word in half of 2020. Social intercourse. Partnership. And it includes participation. And where I got this is in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, where they had things in common. They broke bread daily in accord with what the apostles taught. Social interaction. The third thing, not only is Jonathan David's friend, which we all need friends like that, but more specifically, if it's a friend who's an unbeliever, and I have a lot of experience in this because I've been in the world for, there's things called casting your pearls before swine. And if you don't think that they will not turn and rend on you, then you haven't been shown that. But it happens. It will happen. Because when your heart is breaking, you need a brother or sister. But not only do friendship is important, fellowship, but encouragement. Verses 16, 17, and 18. He strengthens his hand in God. And then this is what he says. He didn't just go, Well, this is what he says. Jonathan says, David, fear not. Now, he could go to Isaiah, he could go to Jeremiah, he could go to Ecclesiastes, he could go all these places and say, fear not, fear not. Well, he couldn't hear, but we can. Fear not. God is with you. He gives him encouragement. For the hand of Saul, my father, he'll shall not find thee. There's a second promise. And he never did. He sought. He got close to him one time when he was backed up in that cave. The Lord delivered him time and time again. He will not find thee. And you will be king over Israel. And you know what? I'm going to be next to you. I'll resign my servitude to you, even though I'm in the next line. And Saul knows this. And so they actually made an agreement. They shook hands. They hugged, or whatever you want to say. This is not like James. James chapter 2. Just stare in our text. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and you say, depart in peace, the Lord be with you, notwithstanding he gives him not those things which he has need of, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. James, an inspired script, an inspired word of God. I believe the doctrine. Do you practice the doctrine? It's in vain. I believe the saint ought to do this, this, and that. Yeah, you've got your dots, your I's dotted and your T's crossed, but if you're not doing anything. So not only was a friend to his friend in need, not only was he a believer and a fellowship around the Word of God, but he actually did. He basically, what James is saying is there's talk and no action, or we say talk and no walk. He said he strengthened his hand in God, not man. Don't tell me what man can do for me. Tell me what Christ can do for me. I don't care who's sitting at the Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington. Don't tell me what God, great things God has done. And in verse 17, he says, fear not. Don't you remember the promises made to you? Do you not remember back in your minds, I'm sure he brought up Saul's anointing? Do you not remember how the Lord delivered you out of the lion and out of the bear's grips and out of Goliath? Humanly, that was impossible. You didn't do that on your own strength. God sustains you. And Saul has not caught you yet, nor in the scriptures he doesn't do it. And in verse 18, they shook on it. They mutually were present to lift one another up. It's beautiful to have, and I pray that I would be this to you and you would be this to me. Age doesn't matter. Believing in Christ is what matters. But I've said all that, and I left the best for last. Jonathan says in verse 17, I'm going to be next to you. He made a statement, a declaration. He thought maybe he made a promise, the promise of man. He made what he thought was going to happen. But historically, this is the last time they ever met. Never met. Jonathan was going to be killed. So where Jonathan failed, Christ cannot. Our Lord Jesus Christ cannot fail. Our promises often end up like Peter's. Lord, though everybody deny you, I will not deny you. This was the last, as I said, conversation these two men had. Let us always try to assist the flock of God if we can. But we often, we're broken vessels, we're insignificant, and we're so sinful and often unable to fulfill what we promise or what we speak. Yet, we must view this entire passage, this entire scene, these verses, as a lovely gospel truth. Christ is the friend of sinners. What he said he will do, he has done. He is the God of all comfort, says 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He, God, in Christ, is the one who leads us to our wilderness. Isaiah, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 2. This, I think, is what's going on here in Samuel. It fits it to a T. Hosea chapter 2, verses 4, I'm sorry. Hosea chapter 2, start in verse 14. The Lord speaking through his prophet to his people, our best friend, the best friend anyone could ever have. Chapter 2 in Hosea and verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, the sinner, and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. Isn't that exactly what's going on in Samuel? And I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day that I visit you, that I've opened your eyes to see yourself, to see your miserable condition, and that I've given you grace to repent and believe and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Christ by faith and walk with me in newness of life. It shall be in that day that thou shalt call me Ishi and shall call me no more Beliah, Ishi, my husband, not my Lord. The gospel says come. The law says you better do this or you're out. He leads us into the wilderness through his Holy Spirit, and by the gospel of his free and sovereign grace, we hear of Christ. And it's there in the wilderness, like it is in here in Samuel, that he speaks comfortably to us. And he says lovingly, unashamedly, and positively in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always. The government may forsake you. Your friends may forsake you. The brethren, like in the garden of Gethsemane, they all fled. But I am with you always. We are not under law. We are under his grace. In closing, turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. And you see Christ in both these illustrations, these examples. A friend loves at all times. This is like Matt read, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It can't happen. And a brother is born for adversity. He is our brother. He's our lover. He's our balm in Gilead. He's God's sweet-smelling sacrifice, which makes us acceptable in him. He is a friend. Yes, he is a brother. By sweet and sovereign grace, he has made unto us these things. A friend loves at all times. This friend, this Emmanuel, God with us, because God's in us, and therefore God's for us. He cannot forsake his own. He will not forsake his own. Colossians in closing, Colossians chapter 4. We'll look at this as Jonathan and as our Lord Jesus Christ, because it's impossible for him to speak anything other than grace. But as we commune with one another, we don't know if you know, Tara may be in the wilderness tomorrow. You know, and if I can help, I need to. But may this be, again, the word of God. I'm not making this up. I'm just going to read it. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. In every situation, trial, tribulation, high times, low times, morning, evening, night. But Christ's speech was always with grace because, well, as the scripture says, no man ever spake like this man. I want to be like Christ, like Jonathan was to David. And yet, sometimes we have the desire, but we have no ability. So, forgive me as I forgive you, as we forgive one another for Christ's sake, who is the ultimate friend, the ultimate brother, and he ultimately will bring it back to his Father and strengthen, fasten, repair our hands in the ways of God. He will not lose one sheep for whom he laid down his life. To God be the glory. Bruce, would you close us?